Tom Terrero, podcast 136. I have to admit I'm cheating because I'm recording this the day after recording podcast 135 with Bexter. I still have a hangover from that podcast, and we are sitting waiting for the premiere of the Day Game documentary. There's the plug, hustle on. It's an exciting day. I have to record this now because early tomorrow morning I'm off to Abu Dhabi. I might disappear forever into the sand dunes. And my guest today, I might not see for a while because I'm traveling, maybe he's traveling. I might not see him for a few weeks. So we're going to get it done. And I'm still in London. It's nice to be back. I am in the Courthouse Hotel. This is where the premiere is. And it's a little secret gem, actually. If you day game around Long Acre and Carnaby and you want to date centrally, come into Courthouse, walk through the reception, and you'll find what looks like an innocent bar. And I used to use this for my second venue, because if you just go into the bar and you look on the right, you'll see a row of three or four prison cells. And they're real, because this used to be a courthouse. And I don't need to tell you why that is amazing for girls, because you just drag a girl into one of those cells, you can close the door. It's, you know, you can do the whole, have you been a good girl, have you been a naughty girl, you're such a bad girl, what's the naughtiest thing you've ever done, spank you very much. And this place has history, which I won't go into now, but just Google Marylebone Court, and you'll probably get like Mick Jagger, Keith Richards, John Lennon. This is a dirty place. So I'm happy to be here. And sitting next to me is Tom. Do you recognize this voice? Hello, Tom.
Hello.
For podcast geeks, I mean, that hello is probably not enough, Tom.
No.
You're going to have to say...
It's good to be back.
Do you recognize that voice? Podcast geeks, what episode was that? The answer is 73. 18 months ago, I was sitting in a park. It was hot,
we
I remember.
Were, yeah, Paddington.
Sitting in a park with Tom outside Paddington, and it was a rather filthy podcast because Tom was telling us about how he had bad logistics, so he had to, I was going to say drag, but that's the wrong word. These girls wanted to come with him to the London parks around Buckingham Palace. And that solved the question that we keep getting of guys saying, I don't have logistics, I live with my mum. So shut up, listen to that podcast, it's 73, use a park, or if you're in the Courthouse Hotel, just by the bar is another gigantic disabled toilet. But that's not what we're talking about today. I had to get Tom back because since then a lot of stuff's happened. The day game's still good, but that's not really the point of the podcast. It was sorting out his life so he can do more day game.
And travel.
And travel. And be free, basically. And you've heard me talk about Tim Ferriss and Digital Nomad. And so many times I say, blah-de-blah-de-blah, blah, blah, this is what you do. And 99% of people don't do it. And it's quite rare, therefore, to have somebody come back to me and say, oh, Tom, I've just quit my job. Or, oh, Tom, I'm now living abroad. Or, oh, Tom, I've just done this. And when you hear that like three times in a row, Tom kept saying, oh, I've done it, I've done it, I've done it, I've done it. And then I was like, holy shit. Okay. Wow. Let's get him on a podcast. And if you're Tom's age, how old are you, Tom?
24.
But you started really hustling for this mission, I guess, probably 18?
Yes. Well, at 18, I didn't really know what to do. I knew I wanted to be a guitar player, but that's it. So I had to explore so many different paths. And then finally, I came to the right path this year.
And it's nice how pickup ties into this. So a little bit of this podcast is about pickup because the skill set, as we discovered, was exactly the same thing.
It's the same. Yeah, just different contexts.
And what's really interesting and encouraging is that Tom's just told me he was pretty shit at school.
Yep. Failed almost every subject apart from music.
And even better than that, there was no university, or as you say in America, college, which is 40 to 60 grand debt. So what were you doing from the age of 18? I think you were in some glamorous job like Sainsbury's, which for Americans means Walmart.
Yeah, at 18 was Sainsbury's, which is a supermarket for like 9 months. I travelled around a bit, but I would always have the same pattern. So I'd always get a job, stay with it for 2 or 3 months, get bored of it, and then quit and try to do guitar.
Living with your parents or a parent in a small English town?
Yes, but I travelled a lot as well. So there was a couple of bands I was in Kent and some other places. But
yeah. And getting into pickup, if you didn't listen to podcast 73, what age were you?
Oh my God, that was probably when I was like 20.
Okay, which is a similar time to realizing that you don't like Sainsbury's. How did that all work? Politely, we say that Tom quit, but the reality is that he got fired probably because you just he just hated it.
Well, going off from last podcast, so it was August 2016. That was the last podcast. I still had the supermarket job then. In December, I quit the job or got fired because I handed in the resignation, and then after 2 weeks they let me go because I was basically trying to sell all the customers guitar lessons.
A hustle within a hustle.
Yes. I managed to get two students from doing that anyway, so it's worth it.
So your first thought was to escape Sainsbury's by teaching guitar live.
Yes, yes.
One on one.
So, in December I had like three students. I got two from Sainsbury's who signed up in January. And then the story starts, really, of how I done it. Should I carry on?
Yeah. So guys are immediately going, well, I don't play the guitar. But the principle remains. I mean, if I can just add in the quickest hack there. If you really are sitting there going, I don't play the guitar, I don't have a one-on-one skill set. I've told three guys to do a TEFL course, which is teaching English abroad. You can do it in a month. You can get a dodgy one online probably for a tenner, but the one for a month costs you a grand. Then you have something to teach one-on-one. So there are no excuses about one-on-one teaching. If you can speak English, if you can hear this podcast, you can teach English. And that's what you started to do. You started to teach guitar.
Yeah, exactly. And the great thing about TEFL is it's all laid out for you. Yeah. I had to write all my lessons. I had to write a book in December to then teach my students on. So
how'd you get the customers?
Okay, so January comes. I have maybe like £500 in my account. The first thing I do is print 10,000 flyers off.
How much did that cost?
£80, not much.
That's bloody good.
Yeah. So then I delivered about 5,000 or 7,000 across my town, and it wasn't working. Like, no one contacted me. I got one student eventually after like 3 months.
That is a low hit rate.
Yes. So I needed to change something. Then came February and I literally had £30 in my account and I really needed to find students because there's no way I could get another job. So what I started doing was door knocking. So that was the best way. I thought, I need to get people, let's just knock every single door in my town. And the first time I done door knocking, I think on the 20th door I managed to sign up two twins.
Which, does that sound like a day game statistic? Yes, it does.
Yes. So I got a lot of no's, but a lot of kind of respect from people because it's unheard of for a guitar teacher to knock a door.
Yeah, it's just dodgy Irish builders. No offence to the Irish, but you know what I mean. That's beautiful that you're using already the day game cockiness to knock on people's doors.
Yes, and then I also have a structure for the door knocking. So I don't know if you want me to share the practical.
Briefly, I imagine it resembles a sales model, which, surprise, surprise, is the day game model.
Yeah, so basically a very brief introduction. Too many people go wrong with introducing themselves for too long. So, hey, my name's Tom, I'm from the so-and-so guitar school. And then you've got to state the reason you're at the door. So the reason I'm here, and then you hit them with an offer. So the reason I'm here is because I have a couple of free guitar lessons. And then what you do is take it away from them and qualify. So then you, yeah.
Slick, man. And you read Cialdini, I know you have, yes. And you understand sales.
Yes. And a guy called Grant Cardone, he's really good.
Yeah, legendary. Cheesy, but legendary. And ABC, always be closing. Close exactly. Strong. Glengarry Glen Ross, great movie.
Yes, I don't really watch movies, but...
But yeah, it's a sales model. It's a sales model.
Yeah, and then be a strong closer at that. Make sure you get their details. Don't wait for them to contact you. So all the pickup stuff, basically.
Yeah.
And then...
So you were getting a few clients.
Well, listen, yeah. In 3 months, I managed to get about 20 students, which is way more money than I was earning at Sainsbury's.
And you're doing something that... You love.
Oh, yes, as well. And that's all I thought about, right? So then it came to summer and I was like, ah, I'm stuck in this small town, I want to travel. How am I going to travel while teaching guitar? My original plan was actually to get like 100 students and then hire another guitar teacher and to take over all the students.
But that is a model that a friend of mine, I just met him this morning, he does in London for language teaching. That is a model, but I think it's...
It can take a while.
And it's more old school than what you did.
Yes. And I think, as you mentioned before, like, it can get complicated when you bring other people in.
Oh, yeah. And just for financial reasons and logistics, it's... You're the one-man band, quite literally. That's he is a musician with a loop pedal, a bit of the old Ed Sheeran loop pedal.
Right.
Okay, so the catch-22 with teaching one-on-one, as I know, as TEFL teachers know, is that you can make a lot of money, but you're stuck with students in your small town, really.
Yes.
You could take a holiday, but those students are waiting for you to teach them.
You're losing money when you do it as well.
Yeah, and you were having to travel and people cancel and all this stuff.
And I went to do the day game thing of drop in the city for 1 month, move to another month, because as well it helps with my YouTube stuff and my Instagram stuff when I'm always traveling.
And you were, at that time, I remember you were sacrificing a bit of pickup. You said to me, I'm taking a bit of time off to work on my money.
Yeah, to be honest, the whole of last year I didn't day game at all. I got a girlfriend for half of the year and then...
I think that's great because, mate, you're 24, so who gives a damn, right? I said to you, I remember on a call ages ago, the aim of the game is to travel.
Yes.
And so, the million-dollar question, how did you go from one-on-ones in your town to freedom?
Okay, so how I went from one-on-ones to freedom is by looking at how to do online teaching. So I looked at some things and then I put my own ideas together and I thought, if I sell Skype lessons or something, I'm on that line, how can I promote that? How can I convince people, shall we say?
It's a hard sell because the older generation, the parents paying for the lesson, they don't know what the fuck online Skype guitar is.
Everyone's skeptical about it at the moment. But I've managed to come up with some great benefits of online learning, such as recording the lessons, such as having an online practice log, which now people prefer the online stuff after they've done it to the actual one-on-one.
It's just that initial fear. But also, where are you getting these leads from? This was the clever bit.
Yes, here we go. So it came summer. I was doing door knocking for online, but again, they were very sceptical because I was at their door and I was trying to sign them up online.
It's confusing for the minute.
Yeah, so I was sitting in a Starbucks in Basingstoke one afternoon.
Living the dream.
Yep. And I was watching, it was a Saturday afternoon, I was watching all these people come past this Starbucks. And I was thinking, I need their attention. Because if I can get their attention, loads of these people are kids. And I was like, they are my perfect students.
For teaching guitar.
Yes. So I was thinking, if I can get these people to get their attention, then I should be able to sign them up. So I came up with this idea of getting a banner, okay, advertising the guitar lessons.
It didn't say Jesus will save your soul, did it?
No, it didn't.
But it's the same kind of banner. If you can imagine the gym banner or the Jesus loves you banner.
Yes, but very important thing, don't put a price on it. I had this big banner. I wasn't going to go into shopping malls because of the price that they charge.
Yeah, illegal. Right? Yeah.
So what I started doing is setting it up on the street where there's high foot traffic. I started just pulling this banner up and...
Whipping it out.
Get a clipboard out and...
Sounds so dodgy, but he sent me photos. You sent me video of you doing this and it looked like a cold approach.
It literally does, yeah.
It was a cold approach.
Well, at first I was trying to approach people, but that didn't work. So the best thing to do is stand, smile at people, and then people approach you who's interested in guitar or whatever you're advertising.
Yep.
Then I sell them on the free lesson, and then once they do the free lesson there, you sign them up for the month. It's very important you get a monthly commitment out of them as well.
Commitment, consistency, read Cialdini, Principles of Persuasion.
Yes, exactly. Most consulting people make the mistake of just, letting the customer book one lesson.
Now, commitment.
Exactly. So, obviously, because I teach guitar online, it means I can go to any town, any place in England, or with a good economy, even any country.
Anything with a with an internet connection.
Exactly. I can sign up these students and, yeah, all is good in that way.
But the big but was that you phoned me up and I said, oh, mate, how's it going? You got this banner, he's doing all that, you got some leads. And you went, mate, conversion's like pretty bad for street hustling.
Yes. Yes, I agree. So I've only had two students from the actual street.
You had a lot of interest, but a lot of flakes.
Yes, a lot of flakes. Maybe it's because I was doing something running the sales cycle, but my target audience really is kids aged from 6 to 12. So
what you had an epiphany.
Yes. So what I started to do is go to schools.
Don't do this for pickup.
No. I basically started going to schools, and when they finish, put my banner up for half an hour and take as many names as possible, and that worked
very well. Such a sneaky method. Such a sneaky method, because the kids are going to go, "Mummy, mummy, oh, I want to play the guitar."
And it works.
Of course.
Five around me, you know, all
asking. What's the word? Social social pressure? With one parent, another parent.
Yeah, and another thing I did run on the street, which maybe I should change now, if I do streets ever again, is don't try and sell them on the street or at the school. Yeah. What you want to do is spark attraction in a way, and then get them, take their details and give them the information when you can close them.
Does that sound like day game? Exactly. Don't try to oversell on the street. You just get the lead details.
Or you get flakes.
And don't go hard on texts. Just get her on the date.
Exactly. So with the school hustle, I think I was setting up about 3:15, because you've got to wait for the students to go inside the school, or is the teachers come out and basically tell you to go away. So 3:15, set it up, and then when they all come out, start taking names. And I get on average 3 to 5 contact details, pretty strong leads, every day for half an hour.
But the conversion rate
is much better.
How many, you don't need to say your numbers exactly, but what was your target, thinking how many people do I need online?
Okay, yeah, because basically I charge £99 a month, I was thinking I need about 1,000 to 1,500 a month, so 10 to 15 students.
Yeah, for day game Euro travel, that's bang on £1,000 if you're an American.
Yeah. When I was in Kiev, you can actually save money.
Oh, mate, in Bulgaria, yeah. You're a king. But right. Yeah, a grand minimum, a grand and a half, great, 2 grand, you're a pimp.
Yes, exactly. So, and you think about it, if I sign up 20 students, £100 a student, that's only 10 hours a week I'm working.
Factoring in the dropout, when some people might cancel their membership or whatever, what was your plan for that?
Okay, so basically what I do is get 15 students, then I travel, and then say like when 5 drop out, I come back to England and get more, and then I go and travel again.
It's a great model, because like I told you on we were chatting, I think I was in South America at the time, and I said you've got to come back to the UK anyway, because you're going to go mad and you've got to see the dentist and you've got to see your mum, and it's good to come home for a little bit, because you've got to stay under the 90 days. If you're listening and you're interested about tax situation, look into, if you're a British citizen and you're not in the UK for more than 90 days, there's a wonderful loophole which I use and Tom's going to use this year, where you're on a different tax bracket, but look into it. But you have to be strict. So your plan is not to be in the UK for more than 90 days.
Yes.
Okay, so you set up this system on a platform where you teach people using a webcam and some software and...
pretty much, all free.
It's not Skype, by the way, it's something a bit better.
Yeah.
Because you can see learning notes and you can drag in sheets and...
record lessons.
And have targets and spreadsheets and all that.
Yeah, loads.
So you set that up, and then we said, okay, you have to test it. And I know you had already travelled to... you've been to South America, you've been to Asia?
Only South Korea for like 10 days.
South Korea.
And I've been to a lot of places. Poland.
Went to Poland. But then you wanted to test this model of actually teaching on a...
Yes.
On your laptop.
Exactly.
So where did you go?
I went to Kiev, Ukraine.
Which was, sounds fine. Sounds like a good idea, dear listener. But I think I told you in one of the podcasts, Tom went there in December, which you might know is pretty fucking cold. There was snow, and I said, take the thermals. But you day games, and you've got leads and dates and all that good stuff. So I think I said to you online, if you can do that in December, like, it's going to be so easy.
Summer's going to be great.
In Czech Republic or Hungary or Poland or whatever. Okay, so how's it going? This is the stage you're at now.
Yep.
How's it going, and what are you going to do to be comfortable?
To expand.
To be comfortable. So at the moment, I feel fairly comfortable because I get the students to commit a month in advance, which means I can go to a country and I will, you know, after that month, if they quit, then I can come back and finish. But now, 2018, my plans now is to travel, teach, and work on YouTube. Film a video product of, you know, what I teach, take someone from nothing to playing their favorite songs.
And being able to sell them that perhaps they can't do the online teaching, perhaps you're full. Yep. That's the peak of online
exactly.
money.
And I still haven't worked everything out, but you've just got to get started with things.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to commit first and figure the rest out later.
Yeah, this we'll save that for the end because we got to talk about your character, really. You know, why you're the type of person that does it. I think you've got to be slightly mad and spontaneous, which is me, and which is Tom, and every successful guy. Yeah, there's no plan. And we're like, but how much is filming a video product? And we're like, well, have you got an iPhone? Yeah, fine. Well, we could do it on that. We can do it on a basic camera. How much did this documentary just cost to make? Nothing. It's just it's so, with a laptop and a camera, I mean, you film most of your videos on an iPhone, don't you?
Yeah, at the moment, iPhone.
It's fine. So, yeah, we'll talk about excuses at the end. But plans for 2018 then, online product?
Online product. I need to touch the book up so it's ready to sell to people who are not my students, because at the moment it's great to teach, but it's not refined enough for...
mass market.
Someone else to follow without getting taught by me.
That's your book. It's a literal book. It's a paper book.
Yes. Yep.
But you're going to work on that as like your entry level. If you know about sales, this is your like funnel level one.
You want different products at different price ranges.
Yeah. Free content to begin with.
Yep.
Level one is like a book.
I've been doing that. Yeah. I give so much free content.
Yeah. The 90-10 rule. We love, you know, you give. People buy then a PDF or a book.
Yeah. Exactly.
Then they buy live coaching with you.
Yeah.
Or that's the hope.
That's it. Well, that works kind of in a different way. So
yeah,
the live coaching, I prospect, I get, and I sell people. But that's a different market.
The hope is once you're on, once you have a presence enough,
yes,
people will, like they do to me, just randomly email me.
That's exactly what I want. Yes.
That's a warm approach, if you like, because I've put out value.
Yep.
I'm not hustling, knocking on doors. I don't do anything. And a guy emails me and says, can you come to Abu Dhabi?
Yeah. But the problem is if you do this model that Tom does, for example, and you're starting out, thinking of money, you're not going to be providing enough value to people.
Yeah, no, people forget that took 4 years of content.
Exactly.
My YouTube channel, the recent one, is only 2014, but I was putting out content from 2011. So,
bingo, yeah.
You know, yeah, I agree. There has to be hustling in the beginning.
Exactly.
Selling books, selling online, and then this video course.
Yes, so I'll put the video course out. I won't force people to buy it. No massive sales pages and all that.
That's dead now anyway. Email lists and people know what a sales page is. A character's everything, as I keep telling you.
Right.
You know, this is why YouTube is so phenomenal. People bond with you, with your character, with your quirks, with like crappy video style and like bait. People love it now. Slick and cheesy sales, I think, is over.
Yeah, and scripted videos where they stand in front of the camera.
Yeah, with a green screen. Hi. I'll tell you three secrets, and the fourth one is if you put your email below.
I switch off first 5 seconds of those videos.
Of course. And did I tell you to watch the Jake Paul and Logan?
Yes, I did.
These are for teenage girls, two brothers, two cocks. They're proper, like, jocks. But you can't deny their social media savviness.
And their video editing as well, the way every 5 seconds it captures your attention again.
Yeah, they were Viners and they hit YouTube.
Yeah.
But their understanding of the funnel is phenomenal. you know.
It is.
So and yeah, good little models for pickup. If you want to see a cocky a cocky jock, what do they call them? Chaches, I think, in America. Like the high school football team dick.
Yep.
Those two brothers come off as absolute wankers. They're very clever. They ain't stupid. That's very, very clever. Anyway, let's not talk about them. 5 minutes to go. Let's talk about you. Obviously, then you're going to use that money to travel, to do pickup, blah, 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 blah. We all know that. But why did you do it? And all your friends, and probably a lot of the audience tonight in the premiere, why do they read the book and don't do it? What is it about your character? Can you remember this from when you were a kid?
Okay, yeah, well, first of all, I've never had a backup plan as such. So teachers at school was very concerned about me, and they used to call my dad all the time because I used to switch off in class. And another thing I remember from an early childhood is sitting with a teacher and him saying, "Tom, I mean, it's great that you want to do guitar, but we need something as a backup." And I said, "No, I'm going to do guitar and that's it." So I think first of all is get rid of backup plans.
That's the burn your boats thing, isn't it?
Okay, yeah. Because then you have to figure out a way.
Yeah, being broke is one of the most amazing things at times, because there's no other option.
It is.
Yeah. I worked in Tesco's and I busked literally on, you know, 20p.
Well, yeah, for the last 5 years, I think I've had less than £50 in my account maybe like 20 times in my life.
But mate, again, you're 24, and if I said congratulations to you, because if you're hitting, like, let's say 1,000 a month now, my god, man, it, like, multiply that to when you're 30.
Yeah, exactly. And then that's the point where I'm gonna start paying debts off and things like that. Don't worry about debts when you have no money, because too many people, what they do is they'd rather work for 5 years just to pay off some debts. Mm. I would say figure out what you want to do, start making money from what you do really want to do, and then worry about paying debts off, because when you start making money.
And you sound, this is a good thing and a bad thing, but for this it's very good. I'm a very impulsive person. I think you are as well, that, like, you discover something, you just want to do it. Like, single track mind as well, like, I'm going to do it.
Oh, yeah. When I was working at Sainsbury's, after a few months I started signing some students up, and I was like, actually, I want to do this. And then from that moment, I lose all enthusiasm in Sainsbury's or customers, and I just focus on that.
Everyone says they're a bit ADHD. Everyone is ADHD, but I my attention span in school was so short. I got told off for playing with the blue tech and all that, but it works now, because when I decide to do something, I just do it. And, like, book a flight, book.
Yes.
You know, take up day game, done. Make a film,
and
done.
That's what you need to train yourself to do, is just take action and not worry about all those other things, because so many people worry about, you know,
it's got to be right. My most common emails now are like, what camera should I buy, what light, what microphone do you use? I mean, we're recording this podcast on a 20 quid Argos dictaphone that I've had for years. This is the podcast studio, right? And your iPhone is the camera. And how did you write that book on, like, an old laptop?
And that's the thing, perfectionists, they're good at school because you've got to be perfect to get good grades, but they're not good in real life, because you've got to fail a lot of times.
It might have been good in the old model, you know, when you used to work in a bank for 50 years.
Oh, okay.
But the world has changed, man. You know, since the iPhone and Jake and his brother Paul, this is now how you are going to earn money and travel, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And you've got the internet, it's 2018, so there's no excuse why none of you can not do it, you know.
And when people of your parents' generation, even, you know, my mum goes, "I don't understand this. What is this? How do you earn money? I don't understand. What are you doing?" You just have to be brave enough to say, "Look,
don't worry,
it's fine." Like, the first time I showed my mum my bank balance after it was some video product, some coaching, and she actually said, "Wow, it's real."
Yes, exactly.
Right. Where did that money come from? It came from people from the internet.
I think, my parents can't quite keep up with me, because for the last 5 years, I've literally switched my ideas so many times. So I say I'm going to do this, and then 2 months later, I'm like, oh, no, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm doing this.
But you sound like now you're a closer. This is it.
Yeah, this is finally, after 5 years, I've found exactly the right models, what suits my life. like 3 years ago, I didn't know I wanted to travel, but now I really do know. After
and you've tested it. You've done one of the hardest countries first, and we will discuss pickup another time. But if you can survive Ukraine in winter, and you've done a bit of Poland and South America and Asia, then you're going to be fine. Like the money, you were right in that if you had just gone off and done day game and worked in Sainsbury's, I mean, mate, it's a loser strategy, that is.
You know? Yeah, exactly. That's where I got to last year when I recorded this podcast was, I was getting these lays, but my lifestyle wasn't that great. I still lived with my parents. I still had my Sainsbury's job. I felt trapped.
All those questions, and I'm tired of these questions when the guy goes, oh, I live in a small town. I live with my parents, la-di-da-di-da. What should I do? And the answer is just move, right? It's so harsh. You have to work out a plan where you don't live with your parents and you go to a city. Because I can tell you some solutions for a small town, but they're just bollocks. Like, it's nice to visit your mum, but how old are you? Like, okay, if you're 16, I accept that email. But if you're emailing me and you're 35 and you go, hi, Tom, I live with my mum. Oh. Like, mate, you need to forget day game just for a year. You need to sort yourself out, you know?
Yeah, it comes that thing of, you know, balancing, you know, sorting out your life first or do pick up. If you're using it as an excuse to not do pick up,
good point.
Fair enough.
You did learn pick up first, actually.
I did, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, good point, good point.
So there's that. And one other thing, which I've always had this mentality, is I've never saved money. I've always worked on increasing income. And I think that's also something. We get told to minimize expenses and to just save money as you can. Whereas we never get taught actually just increase the income that you're already earning. Spend 95% of your time on making money and spend only that 5% on spending it.
Yeah, and you're a minimalist anyway, aren't you, like me?
Exactly. I've only got one bag, one guitar. Every time I buy a new guitar, I have to sell my old one.
Yeah, and you're about travel rather than Lamborghinis and stuff. But I would say when you reach about, when you've got a nice steady cash flow coming in, and let's say you're 30, I would then definitely switch to saving.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
And I was so bad at it until 2 years ago when I randomly met a guy called Ian, and I met this guy in South America, and they taught me, they said, Tom, like when you're 60, you're going to have no money. You're rich now, but you're the kind of guy who's just going to flit it all away. And they sat me down and explained, you know, investing and property and compounding. And
I think that,
once you got money, hide it away.
You know? Yes, but the problem is when people are only earning £500 a month and they're trying to save money, it's like increase your income to at least £1,000 or £2,000 and then worry about saving it when you've got the lifestyle that you want.
And what's so cool about you is you've just escaped. You haven't even touched like uni debt, wife and kids, mortgage. You've got to remember that most people out there, I mean, they are paying off serious weight on their shoulders, you know, and that's
I don't know what that's like.
That's trapped in the matrix, yeah. Yes, but we shall finish with a positive. Countries for 2018, mate, for day game, really?
Okay, I'm going to explore some ones that are not talked about too much. So I'm going to go to Poland next month, and then I'm looking to go to Taiwan. I'm going to go back to South Korea for day game. Where else? I want to go to Colombia, so I've been to Venezuela, and I've got loads of friends from that area.
For the chicas?
Yes. Where else?
Did you say Taiwan?
Yes, Taiwan. I want to try that.
Yeah, if you like Japan, I think... Oh, well, I've not been, but everyone that raves about Japan raves about Taiwan. Yeah, and this is an interesting point. I think we said it last time. You genuinely like Asian girls. It's not a weasel.
Oh, yes, yes. 100%.
Because I've seen you with other nationalities, but you genuinely like Asian girls. So I wish I was like you, mate. But
what's your problem with them?
It's just I don't get horny. I think it's a biological thing.
Oh, really?
No, yeah. You could... So my mate goes, oh, look at her. She's really hot. And I go, it's all right. Put me in Russia or Colombia. Fuck me. Well, don't fuck me. But Tom, we got to finish because we're going in now to do a test screening. Tom will be the first person who's ever seen this in a cinema. So thank you, Tom. When am I going to speak to you next time?
Thank you. I have no idea. Sometime when we're traveling.
A year? Half a year?
No, I'll try and keep it a couple of months.
Couple of months, you cheeky bastard. Right. Until next time. Thank you, Tom.
And thank you.
Ta-da.